Very good evening to all, brothers and sisters in the Dhamma. Today is the 5th of September 2017, Tuesday. We are having our Tuesday class. We are following the Buddha and his teaching. We are at chapter 6, if I'm not wrong, page 88. But now we will compose our mind, develop the faith, sadha, virya, then mindfully we shall comments the puja chanting. Namo Bhansi Sijia Moni Fo. Namo Bhansi Sijia Moni Fo. Namo Bhansi Sijia Moni Fo. Namo Quan Sin Pusa. Namo Quan Sin Pusa. Namo Quan Sin Pusa. Namo Ami Tofo. Namo Ami Tofo. Namo Ami Tofo. Namo Milo Fo. Namo Milo Fo. Namo Milo Fo. Namo Pusien Pusa. Namo Pusien Pusa. Namo Pusien Pusa. Namo Fo Pusa. Namo Fo Pusa. Namo Fo Pusa. Arahan Sama Sambuto Bhagawa. Buddhang Bhagavantang Abhivademi. Swakato Bhagavata Dhammo Dhammang Namasami. Supatipano Bhagavato Sakasango Sanghang Namami. Okay, you can be seated. Turn to page 1 of the chanting book. We will commence with the Namo Tassa Bhagavato Arahato Sama Sambuddhasa. Namo Tassa Bhagavato Arahato Sama Sambuddhasa. Namo Tassa Bhagavato Arahato Sama Sambuddhasa. Buddhang Saranang Gacchami. Dhammang saranang gacchami. Sanghang saranang gacchami. Tutiyampi buddhang saranang gacchami. Dutiyampi dhammang saranang gacchami. Dutiyampi sanghang saranang gacchami. Tatiyampi buddhang saranang gacchami. Tatiyampi dhammang saranang gacchami. Tatiyampi sanghang saranang gacchami. Panatipata viramani sikkhapadang samadhiyami. Adina dana viramani sikkhapadang samadhiyami. Kamesu micchachara viramani sikkhapadang samadhiyami. Musavada viramani sikkhapadang samadhiyami. Sura amiraya maja pamadatana viramani sikha padang samadhiyami. Now we shall chant the Padipa Puja offering of light. Ganna sarappa dithena dipena tamadang sena. Tiloka dipang sambuddhang pujayami tamonodang. Ganna samba rayutena dopena hang sukang hina pujaye pujaniyang tang puja bajana mutamang vanna ganda guno petang etang kusuma santatin pujayami munindasa siri pada sarorohe pujemi buddhang kusumena na punnena matena ca hotu mokhang puppang milayati yata idang me kayo tata yati vinasa bhavang adivase tuno bante paniyang parika pitang anukampang upadaya patigan hatu mutamang adivase tuno bante pale parika pitang anukampang upadaya patigan hatu mutamang adivase tuno bante bojana parika pitang anukampang upadaya patigan hatu mutamang. Now let us chant the puja aspiration based on our understanding of the significance of all these puja offerings. Significance of offering of like. May this offering of like to the Buddha brings forth the causes and conditions to illuminate our mind and help arise the needed clarity and the understanding to dispel all darkness of ignorance therein. Significance of offering of water. May this offering of pure, clear, cool water lead us to the pure, clear Dhamma that cools and doses off the fires of all defilements within our mind. Significance of offering of incense. May our morality, virtue, and understanding shine forth far and wide, just like the fragrance of this incense which we are offering to the Blessed One, who is perfect in wisdom and virtue. Offering of significance of offering of fruits. May this offering of fruits remind us of the dana parami of generosity and the fruit of our karma, so that we will diligently strive on with heedfulness to attain the path and fruition as possible. Significance of offering of flowers. May this constant offering of flowers to the Blessed One strengthen our faith and constantly remind us of the impermanence of this body, so that we will diligently and sincerely strive on to cultivate sila, samadhi, and panya, leading to the ultimate liberation, the bond-free nibbana. Making of overall aspiration. By the power of all these merits born of these offerings, may our spiritual faculties of sadha, virya, sati, samadhi, and panya be further strengthened until they become balas or powers. Sharing and transfer of merits to all beings. May these merits be shared and transferred to all beings without exception, especially to those who have the conditions and affinity to receive them. Sadhu, sadhu, sadhu. Okay, we shall now off the light and you can have half an hour meditation. I will ring the bell after about 30 minutes. Okay. Fathers still need to train their mind. you can go ahead. You can use whatever skillful means that is appropriate to you. You don't have to limit to any type. If you find that you still have quite a bit of heedless thinking, the mundane mind is still actively giving rise to thought, then you have to understand it means your spiritual faculty, saddha, virya, sati, samadhi, and panya is still not stable, not strong. And because of that, the mental hindrance are there. That's how your heedless thinking comes to be. So you need to train it. You have to train it. So how to train it? Initially, the mind sweeping method, you can try it, where you just feel, relax. It will help you to decondition the heedless thinking. Then when you don't think, most of the time you are just mindful or aware to feel, and you relax, your mind will quiet down naturally. The heedless thinking also will slowly, slowly dissipate, then finally no more thinking. Then you are calm most of the time, aware, because you just feel and relax. And mind sweeping method has the other advantage. It trains your mind to be at the location you want it to be. You want it to be at the forehead, it stay there. You want it to be at the heart, it stay there. So this training is very important. So that when you meditate, when you want to be at the breath, doing anapanasati, you can stay there. Just relax into every mind state that arises. Then maintain the silence, the awareness. Don't try to know. Then every time your mind becomes quiet and peaceful, then you need to stabilize this mind so that the silent mind can become more clear, more stable. Then you can just allow it to be via any meditation object that you are familiar with. Train it, stabilize it. The Buddha recommends anapanasati because it's a very neutral object of meditation. So you just like you feel your forehead, now you feel your breathing in front of your nostril. The moment you detect the breathing, then the awareness moves as one with the breath. Breathing in, aware. Breathing out, aware. It's just very simple. Every time it wanders off, just bring the attention back to the breathing. If you are patient, not long, this anapanasati will stabilize. The mindfulness of the in and out breath. And when it stabilizes, you will experience peacefulness of mind, calmness of mind. Because the mind that is just mindful, aware of the breathing without thought, is very calm, very peaceful. So that's how you train. Then you continue to do anapanasati and relax into it. Then maintain the awareness of the in and out breath. Until you can feel all the mind state breathing in, experiencing peace or pity, breathing out, experiencing peace and pity. Then breathing in, experiencing the calm formation of the mind. Then breathing in, calming the bodily formation, breathing out, calmingly the bodily formation. All this you can feel. Develop the mindfulness on it. Until this mind becomes very quiet, very peaceful, then you not only experience piti, a type of spiritual calmness, peacefulness, born of sati, or mindfulness of the in and out breath. Later on, it will become more refined. Then it will become more subtle, and you will experience sukha. Sukha is a very blissful state of mind. It's more intense than piti. Then you continue to relax into it and silence everything. Then your breathing will become more and more quiet, more and more quiet, more and more quiet, until it becomes finally very subtle and still. No more movement. That is pasati, the silent mind, the meditative mind, the tranquility of mind, the stillness of mind. All of meditative training is to develop this mind. Then after that, you just silence everything and stay quiet. Then the silent mind will understand, will meditate. Okay, I'll leave it to you to develop the meditation. Then afterwards, I will ring the bell when the time is up. still want to meditate, you can continue. For those who have not, slowly, mindfully, come out of meditation. Try to maintain whatever inner peace, inner calmness, and inner awareness that you have developed. And stabilize for as long as you can. Then use this trained mind to develop the meditation, especially the daily mindfulness. You need to extend it into your daily life so that you can also have this mind state that is aware, silent and relaxed within, to live your daily life and to cultivate the daily mindfulness leading to the accumulation or the cultivation of the Noble Eightfold Path, starting with the four foundational mindfulness. Okay, now turn to page 6. We will do the invocation to the Devas. Invocation to the Devas. In this universe, in the entirety, let the deities or Devas come here. Let them hear the good teaching of the King of Sages, which gives heaven and release, Nibbana. This is the time to listen to the teaching. This is the time to listen to the teaching. This is the time to listen to the teaching. Samanta Chakavalisu Atra Gacchantu Devata Saddhamman Muni Rajasa Sunantu Sakamokadam Dhamma Savanan Kalo Ayang Badanta Dhamma Savanan Kalo Ayang Badanta Dhamma Savanan Kalo Ayang Badanta Namo Atasa Bhagavato Arahato Sama Sambuddhasa Namo Atasa Bhagavato Arahato Sama Sambuddhasa Namo Atasa Bhagavato Arahato Sama Sambuddhasa Iti peso bhagava arahang sama sambuddho veja charana sampanno sugato lokavido anotaro purisa dhamma sarati Sattha Deva Manusana Buddho Bhagavate Swakato Bhagavata Dhammo Sanditiko Akaliko Ehipaseko Opanayiko Jatang Veditabo Vinohiti Supatipano Bhagavato Savakasango Ujupatipano Bhagavato Savakasango Nyaya Patipano Bhagavato Savakasango Samichi Patipanno Bhagavato Savakasango Yadidang Chattari Purisa Yukani Atta Purisa Pugala Esa Bhagavato Savakasango Ahuneyo Pahuneyo Dakkineyo Anjali Karaneyo Anuttarang Punya
Lokasati sadu sadu sadu.
Okay, let us pay respect to Triple Jam. Puji Damang Puji Mi Sanghang Puji Mi You can be We can be seated. Eh? Then we will continue with where we stop. Eh? We are at chapter 6, page 88. Eh? So tonight, we will let Nisya and Queenie, eh, the mother, the leaders. Eh? Okay, come, Nisya. Wow, sadhu. Oh, yeah. Very, very smart daughter. Eh? Yeah, very good. Come, 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 Queenie. So you have the honor to lead. You want to sit here, you can. Come, don't worry. Don't worry. Ayo, this is just a seat. Don't need to know anything. Oh, she got notes. Very good. Yeah, very good. You just pass it to Google. Google will hand out for you. Yeah. Very good. Wow, sadhu, sadhu. Very good. Come. Just pass it around. Never mind, just pass it around. Yeah. Don't worry about right and wrong. Yeah. Just present based on what you understand. Use the mic. Use the mic. One more for me. Thank you. Yeah. Okay. Now we can listen to Queenie. Yeah. Oh yeah. One for Clifford. Oh, he got. Pushed. Up completely, speak directly on the mic and see. Sorry, I haven't tightened the bass. Screw it. I loosen it because I scared the power goes off. A bit more, squeeze it a bit more. PG, Tighten it. Okay, Kennedy. Kennedy.
Hello.
Yes, very okay. Good. Okay.
Good evening, Brother Teo, Mrs. Teo, and all Kalayamitas. Yeah. Tonight I'm trying to present Dhammacakkappavattana Sutta, the Buddha's first sermon.
Yes, very good.
I think it actually means the discourse on the turning of the wheel of Dharma.
Yes, correct. Very good.
On one occasion, when he was residing at the deer park at Benares at Isipatana, he addressed a group of five bhikkhus who has renounced Pabbajitina not to follow the two extremes, in bracket is Anta in Pali, of number one, indulging in the pleasure of sense because it is regarded as low, vulgar, unworthy and harmful.
Yes, very good.
Number two, not to apply self-mortification as it is painful, unworthy and harmful as well.
Yes.
By giving up these two extremes, the Blessed One, Tathagata, has found the middle path, which gives the vision, knowledge, peace, higher wisdom, enlightenment, and finally, Nibbana.
Yes, very good.
This middle path is actually the Noble Eightfold Path.
Eightfold path.
Yes. I put it in NAFP for short.
Yes.
And what constitutes the Noble Eightfold Path is namely 1. Right view, 2. Right thoughts, 3. Right speech,
yes.
4. Right actions, 5.
Yes.
Right livelihood,
yes.
6. Right effort,
yes.
7. Right mindfulness, and 8. Right concentration.
Should be samadhi. Samadhi.
Pardon?
The book used concentration, but the right word should be right samadhi.
Right samadhi.
Yes, samadhi is not a concentration. Samadhi is a very stable, collected, and unwavering mind. So it's not in concentration.
So right samadhi. Yeah?
Yeah, samadhi. Don't worry, you just continue.
First turning of the Four Noble Truths.
Yes.
First Noble Truth, which is called Ariya One of Sufferings. It means birth, decay, sickness, death.
Yeah.
And the last one, number 5, is actually also a kind of suffering, but it's associated with things or people we do not like.
Yeah.
And also to be separate from loved ones is also suffering. To be unable to get what we want is also suffering.
Yes.
When sum up, all these are the 5 aggregates which are the objects of grasping, are suffering because they are actually rupa, matter, vedana, feeling, sanna, perception, sankhara, mental activities, or states and intentions, or tendency and mental formations, etc. And vinana, consciousness. These 5 aggregates of an arahant are simply pure khandhas.
Yeah.
And of people, they are known as upakhandhas.
Upadana, you miss out the word dana. Upadana khandhas. Upadana khandhas. It's supposed to be grasping aggregate. Upadana, D-A-N-A. Upadana.
Because they are based on grasping.
Yeah,
upadana.
Upadana, yes.
The second noble truth, Ariya 2, origination of suffering.
Yes.
As a result of craving, it leads back to birth.
Yes.
And together with the lure and lust for pleasure, here and there, craving for sensual pleasure, the craving for existence, for non-existent or not to be.
Yes.
The third noble truth, Ariya 3, truth of cessation of suffering. In other words, it merely means the detachment from craving. That is giving up craving simply.
Oh, this one have to modify a bit.
Okay.
You got it from the book?
Yeah.
Oh, I will explain later.
Okay.
Maybe your daughter Mei Xiang will explain later. Fourth noble truth. Okay.
Fourth noble truth, Ariya 4. The path leading to the cessation of suffering.
Yes.
All in all, it is summed up as the NAFP, Noble Eightfold Path of right view, right thoughts, right speech, right actions, right livelihood, right effort, right mindfulness, and right concentration.
Samadhi. Should be samadhi.
Samadhi.
Okay. Right samadhi.
The Blessed One told the bhikkhus concerning things unheard
before.
There arose in him vision, knowledge, understanding, and wisdom of the Four Noble Truths, namely the first noble truth of suffering to be understood, which is the second turning of the Dharma wheel, the second noble truth of suffering to be abandoned, also considered as the second turning of the Dharma wheel, the third noble truth to be realized, also second turning of the Dharma wheel, and last, the fourth noble truth is to be cultivated.
Yeah, also here you miss out a few words.
I don't worry, I
go through with you.
Okay.
The Blessed One told the bhikkhu concerning things unheard before, Then he told them there arose in him vision, knowledge or understanding. Means the understanding of the Four Noble Truths leading to the wisdom. Namely, he said, the first Noble Truth of suffering, the second turning, you have to use another word to reflect on it. He said, this Noble Truth of suffering, which is the first Noble Truth, is to be understood. So this one, you got it correct. Huh? But the second Noble Truth, which is the cause of suffering, you didn't mention.
No.
The cause of suffering is craving. And this craving is to be abandoned. The word cause of arising of suffering, which is the second Noble Truth, is craving. And craving is to be abandoned. Then the third Noble Truth, the Buddha proclaimed that suffering need not be. Enlightenment in the here and the now, Nibbana, can be realized. So this realization of Nibbana is very important according to the Buddha. So under the second turning, he said this third Noble Truth with regards to the cessation of suffering, which is Nibbana, is to be realized. So you miss out the word Nibbana is to be realized. Then the fourth Noble Truth, which talk about the path that leads to the end of all suffering, namely the Noble Eightfold Path, is to be cultivated. So you miss out the essence of the Noble Truth.
Yeah.
Okay, then we move on. The third turning, yes.
No.
Third turning also same.
The same I did.
You miss out the essential Noble Truth. Yeah. So this is where you will learn. That's why you need to present it, then you understand, then you learn.
Okay.
So the third Noble Truth, maybe I help you. Under the third turning, the Buddha say, this Noble Truth of suffering has already been understood. So under the third turning, it's all about enlightenment. Has already been understood means you understand what dukkha is. You understand the cause of its arising. You understand how dukkha can end. Enlightenment in the here and the now, Nibbana, can be realized. And you also understand how this Noble Eightfold Path has already been cultivated. So this is the Four Noble Truths, third turning. So this third turning is very powerful. It talks about enlightenment. That's why when it comes to the second Noble Truth. Why you keep on saying first Noble Truth all? the second one should be the second Noble Truth.
You put all together.
Yeah. Or you put them in the other order. No. It's to be realized, abandoned. All these are the second Noble Truth, third Noble Truth, and fourth Noble Truth. So it's not the first Noble Truth.
Mm-hmm.
So it's supposed to be the first Noble Truth, then second Noble Truth.
Okay.
Just like your number four is correct. First, second, third, and fourth Noble Truth.
Mm-hmm.
But number five, it should be the first Noble Truth of suffering has already been understood.
Okay.
Then the second Noble Truth of the cause of arising of suffering has already been abandoned. And the third Noble Truth of the third Noble Truth of cessation of suffering, which is the realization of Nibbana, has been realized. Then the fourth Noble Truth, which is the path, namely the Noble Eightfold Path, leading to the enlightenment, has been cultivated. Okay, so these are the few things that you have to take note. Then amend them accordingly later on. No need to reprint. I think the rest of them, they will know how to adjust. It's for their own exercise too. Okay, you go on.
Then after he has already spoken on
the three turning, yes.
The Blessed One told the bhikkhu
his
knowledge and insight of these four Noble Truths
under the three turnings and 12
modes in their essential nature. As long as it was not so clear to him, he did not profess among the Devas, Maras, Brahmas, among the hosts of recluses and Brahmins, including gods and mankind, that he gained the incomparable supreme enlightenment.
Yes.
Then the Blessed One told the bhikkhus that once his knowledge and insight of these four noble truths, under the three turnings and 12 modes, in their essential nature was quite clear to him, then only did he profess in this world among the Devas, Maras, Brahmas, among the hosts of recluses and Brahmins, including gods and mankind, that he has gained the incomparable supreme enlightenment. And it also arose in his knowledge and insight that his heart released, for it is
his last birth,
and no more becoming to him. After the Blessed One has spoke of his supreme enlightenment, all the five bhikkhus were glad and they rejoiced at what the Blessed One has said. And upon the expounded discourse, Venerable Kodana arose the pure and stainless eye of truth. Whatsoever is of an originating nature is subject to cessation.
That's why he has that understanding and wisdom, and he pronounced it clearly to the four ascetic and the Buddha. So this is a very important statement proclaimed by Kandanya after his enlightenment. Okay, next.
Foundation of the kingdom of righteousness by the Blessed One. The Devas of the earth cry out loudly. Near Benares at Isipatana in the Deer Park, the Blessed One established the unsurpassed kingdom of righteousness, which was never established before by either a Samana, a Brahmin, a Deva, a Mara, a Brahma, or by anyone whosoever in the world. Hearing the cry of the earth inhabiting Devas, the cry of the Katumaharajika, Tavatinsa, Tana, Tunsita, Nima, Narati, Paranimita Vasati, and the Devas of the Brahmapari Saja, Brahma Purohita, Mahabrahma, Paritaps, Apamansuha, Subhahikaka, Vihapahala, Aviha, Atapa, Sudasa, Sudasim, Akanitaka also raised the cry. Near Benares at Isipatana in the Deer Park, the Blessed One established the unsurpassed kingdom of righteousness, which was never established before by either a Samana, a Brahmin, a Deva, a Mara, a Brahma, or by anyone whosoever in the world. Thus, at the very hour, at that very moment, in an instant of the time, the cry reached even to the Brahma realm, and this whole system of 10,000 world system quick and quick again. It was shaken to and fro, and immeasurable mighty radiance shone forth, surpassing even the effulgence of the Devas.
Very good.
Thereupon the Exalted One uttered this solemn saying, Kondana indeed has understood. Kondana indeed has understood. Therefore, the Venerable Kondana was named Anakondana, and he became a Sotapan after that.
Sadhu. Very good. Thank you so much for the good presentation. Now, Mei Xiang, come, your turn. Yeah, take the mic from your mom. You want to come forward?
No need lah.
No need, okay. Very good.
My mother is here, I have to be here.
Wow, you can sit in front of your mother.
Sit in front of my mother?
No, no, come here in front, face your mother. okay. Yeah, la, easier in front. You are so used to presenting. Don't worry.
sit on the cushion. Don't be shy. Uh-huh. Yes.
Very good. To be.
Yeah. Very soon. Sadhu, sadhu, sadhu. Yes, should be the way. Must have faith, confident.
I'm just sharing a little bit of my my own takeaway, lah.
Yeah.
Okay.
Very good.
How's everyone?
Very good. Yeah.
Is everyone happy?
Yes.
Wonderful.
Very alert.
Oh, okay. Thank you.
Looking forward.
So it's very interesting, you know, we always meet people, we ask the question, how are you?
Yeah.
So the answer is either very good, okay lah, so-so lah. So, wonderful, okay. So when we have more, what you call more Dharma, we probably will say very good more lah.
Yeah.
So we have got less Dharma, we probably say, okay lah, so-so lah.
Yeah, so it's a good way to break the ice, create some interest.
And I
guess, very good. Yeah.
And it's also we use it as a way to break the ice, like what Brother Teo says,
break the
right?
Ice,
I personally also, when I was actually trying to understand this Dhamma Chaka Pavatana, right?
Yes.
So it also kind of came to me that, you know, we have all been conditioned in a way that, you know, or I don't know whether should I call condition?
Yeah, condition.
Or we are conditioned in a way that, you know, we either have to be happy or not happy.
Yeah.
Okay, and the mere fact of us trying to seek happiness, the attachment is the suffering, right?
Craving it.
The craving, right?
Yes.
So I want to share a few stories, okay? So I've got this good friend of mine whom used to be a Buddhist, but the typical Chinese Buddhist where we bye-bye, you know, a lot of rituals and rites, that kind of thing, right? And obviously, along the way, you know, most of us would kind of, you know, seek up to understand what is the right religion. So this friend of mine actually went, I don't know where she got she took up a Buddhism book, and the moment she opened up the first page, right, first noble truth, life is suffering. She closed back the book, and later on she was converted to become a Christian, and become a very, quite a faithful Christian in a way, lah.
Yeah.
Okay? So it actually kind of, you know, when we are talking about it or reflecting, I won't say we are reflecting, but we are talking about it, right? It just shows that, you know, we all has got an intrinsic desire that to seek happiness.
Mm.
And the moment that we are not, we think that we cannot find happiness here, we better run first.
Yeah.
Okay. Without really actually understanding why that statement, life is suffering, is all about, she already have ran away, actually.
Yeah.
So this desire of happiness is like what Buddha has mentioned in the First Noble Truth. It's because of the attachment that we have, you know, of this khanda, whether it's actually the physical sensual pleasure or the mental sensual pleasure, holding on to our opinions or views, or the simple fact that, you know, life should be happy in the way we perceive it should be, or we have taught it to be.
Very
like, you know, we must have success, lah, we must have health, lah, we must have money, lah, you know, all those kind of things, actually.
Yeah.
And if we do not have that kind of happiness, then that is not the way of living, okay? But, you know, when we are reading the book, right, the book says that, you know, the Arya finds that no real happiness in this world. Okay? But, you know, for the lay person, the average person, the sensual pleasure is the highest and only happiness. So it's quite sad in that way, right?
Yeah.
So, and why is it the case, lah? So I was going through these Four Noble Truths, right? The Four Noble Truths starts with, you know, the right understanding. Right, the noble truth of suffering should be understood.
Yeah,
that's the first statement actually. So, and the other day when Mimi was doing the presentation about, you know, the life of the Buddha, the opening chapter, right?
Yes.
And I remember Sister Mimi was talking about, you know, when we truly understand, you know, what the Buddha, or what the Buddha and the Dharma is, right? We will have that sense of gratitude that we would cry.
Sadhu, sadhu, very good.
And when I hear that, right, actually I say, ayo, my fate actually haven't reached there lah. But I do believe that, you know, that should be the way when we truly have the right understanding.
Correct.
Yeah.
Sadhu.
And so bottom line is that the understanding is very important. So I want to share these two stories which I have heard. I think it's from Ajahn Chah actually. I think it's I've heard from someone whom I think is referring to Ajahn Chah. So there's one wait, let me think which story first. Okay, there's one wasa, okay, that Ajahn Chah. So Ajahn, so one of the precepts that we undertake to observe is actually to avoid sexual misconduct, right?
Yeah.
So Ajahn Chah said, okay, since that, you know, it's in a wasa and I want to practice, I don't know which wasa was it and how, in which stage was his practice. Nah? So he says that, you know, in order for me to abstain from sexual misconduct or actually, you know, clear this defilement of sexual misconduct, right, I will actually refrain from having eye contact with, you know, the opposite sex. So for the 3 months, right, he was very successful and there's no eye contact and he's very delighted in a way that, you know, wow, these defilements are actually kind of cleared, right? Then after the 3 months, right, then there's one occasion that he had an eye contact with opposite sex. And then he realized that actually this defilement of sexual whatever lah is actually still there.
Yeah.
And it means that, you know, and he realized that, you know, whatever that's being suppressed,
yeah,
with knowledge, right, it's not real wisdom yet,
yeah,
and
yeah,
it can never go away actually.
So
that shows, you know, the understanding born of knowledge and the understanding born of wisdom is two different things.
Yes, totally,
right?
Different.
Two different, yeah, things. And without whatever, you know, we always talk about the Four Noble Truths, lah. So we talk about the suffering, the causes of suffering, the cessation, and the path, right?
Yes.
So, and all this to me right now is actually knowledge.
Yeah.
You know, that's why, you know, I haven't had the gratitude to cry yet. Because I believe if I have that kind of understanding born of wisdom, I'll be having lots of urgency to practice.
Yeah, you will. Automatically
automatic,
move.
Right?
Until you will not wait. You will see the urgency.
Yeah. Until I have that, right, the Four Noble Truths to me is actually an understanding by knowledge,
yes,
and not an understanding by wisdom as yet.
Yes.
Right? And because of that, in order to get that, we need to practice, so we need to meditate, Lord Brother, correct?
Yes, correct. Very good.
So to meditate more, then we can have the,
yeah,
we can actually convert that understanding.
The first stage of Dhamma is to understand the teaching. Second stage, put it into practice. So what he has zeroed in is very true. And she knows all these are still at knowledge level, but it's already very good because that is the first phase of Dhamma, Pariyati, the learning of the teaching. Then as you learn, you develop deeper understanding. Then only you can put it into practice. That's why without understanding, you cannot technically go ahead with the practice. How can you cultivate something that you don't understand? That is the key question. If you have understood the teaching, then when you put it into practice, it will help you understand very fast and you will progress very fast. But if you have not developed the understanding, you just do without understanding, you become gullible, you will be wasting your time most of the time. Okay, very good. Continue. Sadhu, Miss Sam.
Okay, so I share the second story.
Yeah.
Also from Ajahn Chah. Okay. And there's one occasion, Ajahn Chah with one of his disciple monk, right? And there's a lay person or whoever who came and asked Ajahn Chah a question. So then Ajahn Chah, you know, gave advice and said, okay, you should do like this. Okay, so the person left. Then after the person left, there came a second person. So the second person also came with a question, and this question is very similar to the question of the first person. Okay? And then Ajahn Chah then gave the answer again to this person, you have to do like this. But what is actually very to the surprise of the disciple monk is that even though the two questions are actually very similar, the answer that Ajahn Chah gave was complete opposite.
Completely opposite, yeah.
So then when the person left, this student very confused. So he asked Ajahn Chah, Ajahn, why is it that, you know, the two person came with a very similar question, but why is it that one person you give the answer towards left and one person you give the answer towards right is completely opposite, actually? And Ajahn Chah say, you know, because it depends, you know, on which, if he's on the road, right, if he has actually switched towards the left. Hello? Okay. So he says that, you know, if the person is actually already, you know, swaying to the left, I cannot ask him to keep steering to the left to bring him on the right course. If the other person is actually actually swaying to the right, so I have to actually steer him to the left to bring him back onto the right course, actually. So, you know, that shows that, you know, with the right understanding, right, it's not, you know, a very rigid, you know, way of actually towards a solution.
Teaching or sharing.
Finding
a way to overcome things.
Yeah. So when
real Dhamma is not rigid. Rigid is knowledge, fixed. Dhamma is understanding. When you understand, you approach for understanding. Everyone is different. Condition different, situation different, karma-wise different. That's why the solution will be different. Okay? Yeah. Good.
So that shows that the understanding with wisdom is also different from the understanding with knowledge. Correct? Yeah. So coming back, you know, so why am I talking about all this, lah? Because coming back, you know, to the Four Noble Truths, right? The first Noble Truth is the Noble Truth of suffering should be understood. So without the right understanding, we cannot eradicate the causes of suffering. We cannot actually realize the cessation of suffering, and we will not be able to develop the path leading to suffering. So in order for us, or for me, to be able to actually progress in my cultivation, to develop the faith, and also, you know, to do the right thing, right, I should develop the understanding born out of wisdom. And that needs to come from a lot of meditation.
Yeah.
Correct, Brother.
Correct. Then, apart from meditation, before you go into meditation, you must have the right view or right understanding of the essential Dhamma that the Buddha taught, the five Panchaniyamas, universal order that governs life and existence, especially the last three. The last three are spiritual laws. First two are scientific. Never mind, it's okay. Uttu Niyama and Bija Niyama. The other three more important, Kama Niyama, Chitta Niyama, and Dhamma Niyama. This is where the essential Dhamma, the spiritual laws are. Because the Buddha is an expert in that. That's why he is very, very wise. And he is full of wisdom and virtue, perfect in both. That's why he is a Sama Sambuddha. The scientists too, when they penetrate the first two laws, physical law and biological law, they also progress very fast. So in a similar way, the Buddha has this right view. Then when you have this right view, it will teach you how to start the cultivation. Like the law of karma last time we went through, you remember? Because that is such a powerful law. Our life depends entirely on law of karma. Like the Buddha came to realize we are all born of it, air to it, conditioned and supported by it. And we are what we are because of our karma. So if your entire life depends on karma, you don't take care of karma, you will suffer, you will become afflicted, miserable. That's the reason why from this right view the Buddha said, you have to avoid all evil, do good, and purify your mind. So that you can take care of karma, then your life will become beautiful accordingly. So from this right view, straight away the advice of the Buddha come, his teaching come. Then from there, why you renew your precept, why you must undertake the training rule to keep all these precepts, because it leads to downfall, it leads to evil, negativity of karma, then it will bring about karmic negativity. The friction of it will lead to a lot of suffering and misery. Then after that, you're supposed to have the second right view. how you function as a human being. Citta niyama, the law of dependent origination, how upon contact feeling arise. Then when you approach life, every moment of sense experience, there is also contact. But because of ignorant contact will condition mental activity. And mental activity will condition consciousness. Then through wrong view, you input the wrong content. The five mental aggregate of form and mind arise. And for it to arise, the six sense basis must be there. That's how upon contact, all this arise. Then because you lack wisdom, right view, right understanding, yoniso manasikara, it will condition craving, which is the cause of suffering. Just now Mei Xiang and the mother has already explained. And you can find out for yourself in the meditation, investigate into it, whether it's the truth or not. So when there is craving, even very, very good sensual experience or sensual craving will also lead to suffering. When you have happiness or joy, if you attach because of craving through memory, when you cannot get what you want, suffering will arise. You can put all this to the battery got problem. Never mind, I use the proper mic. So the cause of arising or suffering is the key to Dhamma understanding. If you can understand the cause, your mind can liberate. Just like I used to advise you all, the moment you understand and awaken, you are free. You no need to practice letting go. The person who practice letting go cannot understand. There is no such thing as letting go. You only let go when you hold. When you no longer hold, means you have the wisdom, you have the right view, the understanding. That's why I say the moment you understand, you cannot cling, you cannot grasp, you cannot hold. So where is there any need for you to let go? So letting go, if you don't have the understanding, it appears logical. Because you are suffering. Then they say, let go lah. Then you don't suffer. But this logic may not be the truth. Because you never inquire. In the first place, why must you hold? You hold because you don't understand. True or not? If you understand, you will not hold there. Like the red hot iron ball, or if it's a hot pot of water, you will not touch inside because you know it's burning, tormenting. You go and hold, only you try to let go. That is crazy. Right? Yeah. So the cultivation is whether you understand or you don't understand, that's it. You cannot learn to let go. Learn to let go is like doing the opposite of the cultivation of Dhamma. It's through delusion. Through logic, you try to let go. The person who try to let go still have delusion. So how can he let go? He can only let go when he understand. But when he understand, he no need to hold. That's why he no need to let go. And that is a very important understanding. So all form of craving, attachment, clinging, grasping to anything in life will lead to suffering. Because you want things your way. Otherwise you won't grasp, you won't cling, you won't hold. So this is the aspect of Dhamma that many cultivators fail to understand. So they keep on using this word, I must let go. I must not worry about my daughter. I must not worry about my son. I must not worry about my health. You can say all this 1,000 times to yourself. But what really happened is, you only talk about letting go. The thought still clings, still holds, still grabs, still worry. And because of that, it is like doing the impossible. It's like you are deceiving yourself. You have not really let go. Because when you hold without understanding, you cannot let go. The moment you understand you don't hold, no need to let go. Finish. So the path, I hope slowly, slowly through your cultivation, one day when you awaken, you will understand clearly what I try to share most of the time. So that this wrong view, which many cultivators develop unknowingly, can be rooted out. Unless you root this out, you will be all the time practicing let go. You know, when you practice letting go, you are actually suppressing the thing. It's like the pastor who say, easy to forgive, but not easy to forget what he did to me. Is that forgive? Is that letting go? Means you say, okay lah, I forgive you. I let go already, I don't want to hate you already. But he cannot forget what that guy has done to him. So easy to forgive, he say, the pastor say, but very difficult to forget, which means he hasn't forgiven. So you haven't have the understanding to see that when you forgive somebody, you actually free yourself. You understand? When you hate somebody, you have evil root, anger, hatred, and this will make you evil, cause your karmic negativity, suffering, misery, affliction. When you see that, when you understood that by forgiving, I root out my anger, my evil root, my suffering, I become beautiful. I become peaceful. I become loving, and I no longer suffer. And then you can forgive. Thank you so much for allowing me the opportunity to ask for forgiveness. Then whether that person accepts your forgiveness or not is not important, because for you, you already have the understanding. You want to free your mind. You don't want to hate anybody. Where hating somebody is actually creating your own evil, your own suffering, your own unhappiness, your own karmic negativity. So Dhamma, when it's understood, is completely reverse of logic. You will have the understanding that will allow you to liberate your mind and free completely from that problem. If you don't see that clearly, then very difficult to develop the understanding, the cultivation. Yeah. But when it comes to the third turning, which I think the mother just now went through, the third turning is the wisdom linked to cultivation. Bhavana, maya, panya. Panya is wisdom. Wisdom born of bhavana. Bhavana is meditation, meditative training. That's why sila, samadhi, and panya. Then, bhavana is samadhi and panya, which is the meditative part. So, bhavana is the direct seeing, the awakening. The third turning always talk about this first noble truth of suffering has already been understood. Means you have completely understood. Your mind is free. The second noble truth, the third turning also same. This craving, which is the cause of suffering, has already been abandoned, finished. When there is no more craving, no more attachment, no more clinging, no more desire, well, what is there to let go? No need to let go. There is nothing to cause suffering anymore. You already abandon it. When you don't hold, you don't cling, you no need to let go. That is basically what the third turning of the second noble truth is all about. Then the third noble truth, this cessation of suffering, which is the enlightenment, nirvana, has already been realized. Yeah. When you have that realization, that awakening, the mind completely liberate and free, then the world becomes beautiful, meaningful. Then, like Mei Xiang mentioned just now, those who don't understand, when they read the first noble truth, that's why I say a lot of people got the Buddha's teaching wrong. They always tell you, life is suffering. The Buddha never say that. The Buddha say in clear term, under the Dhammacakkappavattana Sutta, He said, there is this first noble truth of suffering. There is a noble truth to explain to you clearly about the prevalence of suffering. Suffering is everywhere in the midst of life and existence. And there are 8 realities within life. If you live long enough, you will confront them. And all these 8 realities will condition suffering if you don't have his teaching, the understanding of his teaching, the Buddha Dhamma. That is the meaning of the first noble truth. He never said life is suffering. He said suffering is everywhere in the midst of life and existence if you don't have the understanding to confront them. Then it will condition suffering. But when you have the wisdom, that's a third noble truth, he says suffering need not be. Enlightenment in the here and the now can be realized. Nibbana can be realized. And the unconditioned can be realized. Without the realization of the unconditioned, escape from the conditioned world, liberation from the conditioned world is impossible. And that is his teaching. That's why there is a noble truth that explains clearly what suffering is and the cause behind. Then he said, this suffering need not be when you have the wisdom, the understanding. You can realize this enlightenment for Nibbana. Then the fourth noble truth, he said, there is a path, namely the Noble Eightfold Path. You cultivate it accordingly, it will lead to the end of suffering. End of all suffering. So not only he tell you what suffering is, the cause behind its arising, and it can end, it also teach you how to do it, how to develop the cultivation to end it. That's the reason why he's the fully enlightened one. His teaching is very complete. So that aspect, a lot of Buddhists didn't have the understanding to present it to people of other, maybe religious belief or understanding. So when you fail to have that understanding, when people ask you, what is Buddhism all about? Oh, Four Noble Truths. What is the first noble truth? Life is suffering. Who will be interested in your teaching when you just say life is suffering? That's why sometimes the other religion, they make use of this statement. You go to Buddhism, what do you get? Life is suffering. Everything they talk is suffering. Do you want to be involved in such teaching? Here you come over, we have our supreme being that can give you love. Oh, they talk about love. They talk about all the good things about life and all those things. Then they talk about eternal life, eternal happiness, eternal joy. So this one more appealing to the general public, especially those who are facing misery, suffering. Then you tell them, you come to our temple, our church. We will help you. We will promise you salvation, the eternal heaven, utopia, and all those things. So when this type of teaching arises, and you don't have the means to develop the true understanding of what the Buddha's teaching is, you cannot counter the society's perception or even stand up to a platform to let people understand that all this that you are facing, the suffering, the misery, the sorrow, the lamentation, the depression, the Buddha already described under the first noble truth. These are common reality. Not only you have to go through, each and every living being, if they live long enough, they have to confront, they have to experience. The only difference is, without this teaching, you will be afflicted. With this teaching and understanding, suffering need not be, the Buddha said. You can meditate and develop the awakening and realize the enlightenment in the here and the now. And life can be truly beautiful. And you can even at one point that other religion don't have. You don't have to wait till death to find out whether the promised eternal heaven really exists or not, whether the kingdom of God really exists or not. You can realize in the here and the now before you die that enlightened mind state, that Nibbana, that the Buddha spoke or talked about in the here and the now. And that is the most promising one. Then there are a lot of cultivators who have that realization. They can confirm to you in very, very clear-cut term that this Nibbana, the so-called unconditioned, can be realized in the here and the now before you die. Okay? So that part, you make it clear, then it will become beautiful. Now I pass back to Mei. Yeah? Okay, Mei San, continue. Thank you so much.
Okay, so in summary, right, so actually the Dhammacakkappavattana Sutta, I've chanted many, many times.
Yeah.
And actually, so every time when people ask what's Four Noble Truths, you know, the Noble Truth of suffering, there's causation, cessation, here and now, and also the path. So, but actually, until I kind of have to prepare a little bit, okay, then I realized that how much more understanding I would need to have to really understand what the Four Noble Truths is.
Yes, and that's why this will help.
Yeah, and so I'm very thankful of this session, even though it's like, to be honest, I didn't prepare much. I was too busy.
That's a good one.
My best.
Yeah.
So, so the. One of the biggest takeaway for me also is that, you know, when I was going through this Four Noble Truth, and I kind of understood, right, that this causes of suffering, the attachment, the craving, I start to have a glimpse,
clearer understanding yeah.
That, you know, it's really the attachment to this self. Yeah. It's that, you know, Virtue always say, you know, the Sakaya Ditti. Right?
The self-delusion.
Yeah. And I suddenly, like, you know, I ka-ching like that. No wonder the first factor to become a sotapan that they were is actually Sakaya Ditti. Because I kind of understand that, you know, the moment we can realize Sakaya Ditti,
yeah, that this form of mind is not you.
Yeah. When I can.
Your self-delusion is gone.
It's gone, right?
Your selfishness is gone. But there's nobody inside there to be selfish. Understand? Then there's nobody inside there to be angry, emotional, fearful. All this is normal. So, you are completely free. You set yourself free because you don't cling. Then who is this fellow? Mei Xiang. Who is she? She is the karmically conditioned form of mind, vehicle and tool for her to come to this world. Understand? To live life. So use it. Don't go and worry about it getting old, getting sick and die. Then go and create all the attachment, the craving, the greed, the selfishness, the desire, until you become so miserable. Understand? So self-delusion is very important to develop the understanding so that you can sever these first factors that brings about great suffering. That's why it's an evil root, cause of all suffering. Self-delusion, the attachment to this self, upadana khandas, grasping aggregate. Your feeling grasps, your perception create delusion for you to cling through wrong view, self-delusion. Then whatever you don't understand, you have fear. Fear is a very major suffering. Fear of death, fear of losing someone you love, fear of losing your possession, things that you hold on to dearly. Fear of losing. Fear of losing your status, your reputation, your professional career and all those things. Then fear of what they call blame. When you are being blamed, you lose your honor. When you are being charged, when you are being exposed of all the shameful things that you have done. So you're no longer honorable. So these are all the fear. Fear of losing your job. Fear of relationship failure. Fear of not passing your exam. Not getting a promotion. There are so much things that people are fearful of. Your health problem. You got so much fear. Today on my website, the classmate, my home state college classmate, there was one classmate who migrated to Australia. Her daughter is still very young, 24 years old, diagnosed with cancer. And she was so, like, completely lost her life, full of sadness, full of worry, anxiety, and relate to us in the website. Why did it happen to her daughter so young? So much more to see in life, and she is in this state. Then of course among the classmates, a lot of people give courage, give hope, and quite a number also share their experience. Another classmate of mine, very close to me, his son has cancer too, and he was a medical student. That time was third year, 2015, and he completely recovered. Now, past remission period. That's why he was so happy, and he did it with right understanding. Where he came and see me, talk to me, then finally, he cannot afford the private sector treatment. He went to UM Specialist Center, and they did it for him, and he completely recovered. Now he's back to Australia working as a doctor. So this one gave her hope. She was in tears. But quite a number in the class, they are of different religion. Our school is a mix, very mixed. We got all the races. Then we also have Indians, Malay. Then of course Chinese also, we are quite divided. Free thinker also got, Buddhist also got. But most of them are Christian, I don't know why. And they are mainly Christian because when the time comes, like Mei Xiang said, life is suffering. They don't even want to find out what the teaching of Buddha is, because straight away they prefer love, God, and other things. And it's easier for them to relate, because most people, when they are in that state of suffering, misery, fear, despair, they don't know what to do. They just hold on to whatever that can give them hope, give them love, give them the courage to confront whatever thing that they have control. So using God's love, using religion in a way that can relate to these people, can bring about an effect on them. And initially, most of them, they feel good, better. That's how they finally become Christian. And I've seen quite a number going this way. But these are people who they are not keen to find out anymore. They just want answer, solution. Then they want advice. You need them to listen to you and develop the understanding and the cultivation. They don't have time because they already been afflicted by the first noble truth reality. When they are in the midst of suffering, misery, just like those people in depression, you talk Dhamma, no use on. That was what I came to know too. So I don't talk Dhamma to them. I just talk to them on life, truth. I say, you have to understand how you become like that. If you want to develop the understanding, I can explain it to you. Then your life, you can decide how to live. Then when you live life differently, with understanding, you can change your life destiny. You can recover from all this true understanding, through nature's law. Of course, you have to combine with medication. Your Western medication, you know how to get the correct treatment, the right doctor, the right advice. It can also help. But the other aspect is mental, karmic. you also must have the understanding, because the bulk of it is actually mental and karmic. If you overcome that, then together with medical, you will come out of it beautifully. But the other aspect of the Dhamma that we have to understand is this body goes the way of nature. It don't belong to you. It's not really what you think. It's not you. They are only elements. Then the consciousness also is not you. They have this universal characteristics inherent in them. All the aggregates of mind, the whole of the consciousness, they are impermanent. When you attach cling and crops, it leads to suffering. And because they are impermanent, you cannot say, this is me, this is I. And because of this self-delusion, you suffer, you become afflicted, miserable. That consciousness, that mind can enter depression, sadness, sorrow and lamentation, all this. And so this is the deeper aspect of the teaching, where even a lot of psychiatrists, doctors, they cannot understand. Yeah. They deal mainly with the thought process. They come up with all those theory, yeah, which is also quite good. They know this thought you cannot control, very difficult. They call it OCD, yeah? Obsessive and compulsive disorder. They say this thought, when you enter depression, it becomes very obsessive. You know, a very obsessive person keep on like a tape recorder, repeating one to do one. Then very compulsive and intrusive. It will keep on coming in and haunt your thinking process. That's why they become very depressed. And suicidal thought very often surface. And they are full of sorrow and lamentation. Because it's just suffering, just sorrows. When you are in the state of depression, those who went through, they will know. And we even have some Dhamma friends who came out of depression after talking to me. The first thing I heard from them after they recover is, Brother Teo, no need to describe to me the first noble truth of suffering. I went through so many years of depression. I understood suffering inside out. And they can even give me all the example that they went through. One of the Kayaramitas, the husband was a listed company, public listed company managing director, Bob. Suddenly heart attack at the age of 60, early 60, just died like that. Wow, cannot take it, went into depression. 2 years. Then I told my wife, well, my wife's good friend, wait for condition. Then when there is condition, after 2 years, I just talk to her during lunch, dinner, breakfast, the talk. Within 3 months, she completely come out of it, recovered, and gave back her life. That 2 years was miserable. And she herself said, she go to all the Mahayana temple, we are Mandarin educated. She didn't learn anything. She cannot come out of it. But by talking to me, having lunch and dinner with me, he learned so much. And now he is so much more happier than before he lost his husband. He recovered many years ago. And she is living her beautiful life now. So all these are possible. Very, very beautiful because of that teaching that the Buddha brought forth to this world, proclaimed to our civilization. That's why this asana, the Buddha dispensation, we still got 2,000 years to go about. It's going to be very beautiful. So don't miss this window. Okay? Yeah, now Miss Anne, pass back to you.
So I was talking about self-delusion, sakkayaditti, right? So I, with that little glimpse, right, I probably can relate to what Brother Teo has always been talking about, right? The moment we can abandon self-delusion, or abandon, right, is the right word to use, right? The cultivation is a completely different thing altogether. Yeah.
Very true. Yes.
And so. With this understanding with knowledge right now, so I aspire I hope that I've got more urgency right now.
You will have. Yeah.
I think with a little bit more, I with that little bit extra of understanding,
yeah,
and knowing how important or how threatful is this self-delusion, I have to be more determined in my cultivation and meditation, so that I can actually have wisdom, understanding arising out of wisdom, than just understanding from knowledge.
Yeah. Sadhu. Thank you so much. Beautiful.
You.
Let us rejoice. Sadhu. Thank you so much, Mei Xiang. Then we should thank the mom too. Kini, sadhu, for having a very good attempt. Sadhu.
So your approach can be different, like what Mei Xiang did. That sharing was very good. So you can introduce to the Kajamita the various skillful means or skillful ways to present your presentation. Like how Mei Xiang break the ice by starting off asking you, how are you? More lively, it keep you more alert, less sleepy. Otherwise you may doze off. So this particular sharing by Mei Xiang and the mom is indeed very fruitful, and it can help you understand many things. And for me also, I can learn by hearing from you all. Because I know how much essential Dhamma you have understood. See, even like Queenie, when she tried, she thought she has the notes all copied out and all say. But yet, some of the essential things are missing. First time is definitely that way. So you don't have to worry, Queenie. You have done well. So I really rejoice. And Mei Xiang did very well because she read through, try to develop her own understanding, and she relate from her own life experience, what she heard, what she has developed as understanding. And she came to know that this is mainly knowledge, because first phase of Dhamma, Pariyatti, is the learning of the teaching, the knowledge part. When you understand through knowledge, you can put it into practice. Before you have the first stage of Dhamma, or first phase of Dhamma, the learning of the teaching, you cannot cultivate, because you cannot cultivate something that you don't understand. So understanding is very important. That's why she stressed a lot on it. So when you understand, you have wisdom. When you know, it's knowledge. You know you cannot do. Understand? It's still not cultivated, not part of you. So knowledge cannot free you. Like a lot of people used to share with me last time, Yun Chan, relative, easy to advise people, when they got suffering and misery, I say, let go lah, don't attach. The Buddha say, don't attach, you will not suffer. Because the cause of suffering is attachment. Then she said one thing, rather easier said than done. But when it happened to us, ourselves, our own loved one, you go and tell yourself, let go, don't attach. He said, miserable. Because that thought will haunt you. Because you attach to your loved one, like my dad classmate, her daughter, still so young, so much more to learn and experience, and beautiful career. All this is going to be wiped off now just because of that cancer, that sea. So we are starting to see more and more this reality. There was another case, was the husband, also same cancer. So they are fighting. And divorce, of course, is many. Relationship failure. Then career one also. So these are the realities of life and existence that the Buddha talked about under the first Noble Truth realities. So now we quickly glance through the page 88. I will go through with you the actual
Dhammacakkappavattana Sutta, so that you can have the true understanding. Yeah. So now we can go through quickly where we have gone through them. Thus have I heard, on one occasion, the exalted one was residing at Deer Park, Isipatana, just now went through. Then avoid the two extremes. Yeah. First one is sensual indulgence, yeah, which is ignoble, vulgar, base, yeah, worldly, and profitless. So if you indulge in the sensual desire, sensual indulgence, it will lead to downfall. Yeah. Means you go and drink, you go and womanize, you go and gamble, you go and have late night fun and all this thing. This will bring about downfall. Mm. This is what they call sensual indulgence, gambling, taking of drugs and all those things. Mm. Then self-mortification is the other extreme, torturing yourself, which is painful, ignoble, and useless, profitless. Mm. So abandoning both the extreme, the Tathagata had comprehended the middle path, which promotes vision. Yeah? Chakum is the eye, yeah? Vision. They use the word sight also can. Huh? And jnana is wisdom, yeah? And which tends to peace. Higher wisdom, enlightenment, and nibbana. So this is why you have to avoid the two extremes. Then focus on the middle path. Middle path is the Noble Eightfold Path. Mm. What old bhikkhu is that middle path that the Tathagata has comprehended, which promotes vision and wisdom, and which tends toward peace, higher wisdom, enlightenment, and nibbana. The very Noble Eightfold Path, namely, just now we went through, huh? Right view, right thought, right speech, right action, right livelihood or right living, then right effort, right mindfulness, and right samadhi. This old bhikkhu, the middle path, which the Tathagata has comprehended, then the Buddha starts to proclaim the Four Noble Truths. Huh? Now this old bhikkhu is the Noble Truth of suffering. He never said life is suffering in there. He said this is the Noble Truth of suffering. Then he said the eighth reality, birth, can lead to suffering. Decay here means getting old. Understand? Yeah? Getting old. Then disease here means getting sick, developing injury, sickness, or whatever. Organ failure and all those things. Yeah. Means mainly involving disease and sickness. Yeah. Then of course death. Yeah. A lot of people suffer upon death, especially death of a breadwinner, sole breadwinner of the family. And when you are with people whom you don't like, then when you cannot get what you want, so all this will lead to suffering. Mm. Then, of course, they also have this separation from loved one, possession, everything, also lead to suffering. Then the final summary, in brief, the five grasping aggregate are suffering. Now this old bhikkhu is the noble truth of cause arising of suffering. It is this craving which produces rebirth and all those things. Yeah? Actually, it is craving for the sensual desire. So, kama tangha means sensual craving. Your sense, six senses, you crave those sensual thing that you see, you hear, you smell, you taste, you tactile feel and think. So that is sensual craving. Then craving to be, to become somebody. Yeah. Sakayaditi, self-delusion. Then when you, whether you fulfill the craving, you try to develop, like you crave to be promoted, to be CEO. Then when you become CEO, you find that it's a hot seat. You don't want to become CEO. Too much politics, office politics, too much backstabbing. too much pressure, fear, and other things, then you crave not to be. You want to resign, people don't let you resign. People say, you must sit there and become my puppet. Then they control you. They manipulate you. So all these are craving. The three types of craving is the cause of suffering. In Pali, it's called Kama Tanha, Bhava Tanha, and Vibhava Tanha. Then the third noble truth, now this obhikkhu is the noble truth of cessation of suffering. Dukkha Nirodha Arya Satcha. Arya is noble truth. Arya Satcha is noble truth. So suffering can cease. Dukkha Nirodha. Nirodha is cease. It is the complete separation from and destruction of this very craving. Is forsaking renunciation, the liberation thereupon, and non-attachment thereto. So, the absence of craving is not Nibbana. Don't get it wrong. A lot of people say, when you are without craving, you realize Nibbana. No. The cessation of form and mind is Nibbana. When you do loving-kindness meditation, when you meditate on metta, when you wish people well-being and happiness, you don't have craving, you just radiate love. Have you realized Nibbana? You haven't. So the absence of craving is not Nibbana. Nibbana is the cessation of form and mind. Means when you have abandoned completely, you have rooted out craving completely through wisdom, then Nibbana can be realized. Rooted out and absent is different. When nothing disturbs you, no condition for you to have craving, you can be in the state of peace, silent, or joy and happiness. There is no craving. That is not Nibbana. So the absence of craving is not Nibbana. Nibbana is the rooting out of craving, cessation of form and mind. Then the fourth noble truth. Now this obhikkhu is the noble truth of the path leading to the end of all suffering. It is the noble eightfold path. So again, we have gone through. Then the second turning. He said, thus obhikkhu, with respect to things unheard before, there arose in me the eye, the knowledge, the vision, the wisdom, the insight, and the like. This noble truth of suffering should be, they use the word perceive, it's a different word. It should be, is to be understood. Then the second noble truth. This thus obhikkhu with respect to things unheard before. It said, thus obhikkhu with respect to things unheard before, though there arose in me the vision, the eye, the wisdom and the insight and the like. Then they go on to the next noble truth. This is the noble truth of the cause of arising of suffering. This noble truth of the cause of arising of suffering should be, they use the word eradicated. It should be abandoned or severed, completely rooted out. Then third noble truth. This is the noble truth of the cessation of suffering, which is the realization of enlightenment, Nibbana. Then this noble truth of cessation of suffering, which is Nibbana, should be realized. This is the second turning of the third noble truth. Then the second turning of the fourth noble truth is this noble truth of the path that leads to the end of all suffering is to be realized. So all this constitute the second turning of the Noble Truth. You go to our website, the book there is clearer. I got the map, the drawing also on the three turning. Then you have the third turning. After that, the third turning is the same. This Noble Truth of suffering has already been developed or understood. Then the second noble truth. this craving, which is the cause of suffering, has already been abandoned or rooted out. Then the third number two, this realization of Nibbana, the cessation of all suffering, has been realized. Then the last one is this Noble Eightfold Path, which is the path that leads to the end of all suffering, has been cultivated. That's how the third turning gives rise to the third turning wisdom, which is Bhavana Maya Panya. Then after that, we have the famous verse, the cry for joy. Hearing this, page 95, second paragraph. Hearing this, the devas, Chattu Maharaja Jika, Tavatinsa Yama, Yama, and then Tusita Heaven, Nimarati, then Paranimarati, these are the Mara rhymes, and the Brahma rhymes, all the 16 Brahma rhymes, then until the formless rhyme. Also raised the same joyous cry. Thus, at that very moment, at that very instant, this cry extended as far as the Brahma rhyme. This 10,000 world system quite totaled and trembled violently. So if you have been born during the time of the Buddha, when he proclaimed this Dhammacakkappavattana Sutta, I tell you, the heaven trembled, quake. And you can see the sign. You can hear the joy. You can feel the vibration. It's really, really something very profound and very unique. So all this you can hear from the Jataka story. Okay, page 96. He said, some reflection on the Dhammacakkappavattana Sutta. So you go back, you read through this reflection. Maybe we will do next Tuesday. I will run through it quickly. There are 33 of them. Then after that, we have Anatta Lakkhana Sutta. So, Anatta Lakkhana Sutta, who want to do? We have to nominate two. We get Mei Siang to nominate. You have the honor to nominate next week. Who will do? LC, okay. Confirm, LC? Yeah? Sadhu. If we get Brother Chai to help you and your daughter, your family team. No problem. Each can present one version. So we can together learn something from them. Yes. The kingdom of the righteousness. Her one is another version. My notes. The Dhammacakkappavattana Sutta. That one is the translated version of the Thai version. She got it from my notes that I gave to her. The email compilation, the appendix at the back there. So the kingdom of righteousness is just the sasana, understand that? The sasana. After the Buddha turned the wheel of Dhamma, he established the kingdom of righteousness. It's the sasana, his teaching. Okay, Jay? So tonight, I think it was beautiful. At least we have some style of presentation which is different. I like Mei Siang's presentation. Very good. Where it relates to her own experience, her own life story. Then the two short story that he related about Ajahn Chah one is also very interesting. You cannot don't want to see, understand or not? So you want to keep the precept of the third precept, or the monk one is more serious because it's complete celibacy, abrahmacharya. So you cannot just by avoiding to have eye contact with the opposite sex, then you think you can root it out. This is suppression, understand? So when you are being suppressed, when they prevent you from seeing, what happened? You have not rooted out that craving or that desire. And the worst is, they say curiosity kills a cat. The curiosity about what that thing is actually make you worse. And you can become more lustful the moment you see, because you haven't seen before. So they see you, everything also cannot see. Suddenly the wind blow, then you happen to be there to see, wow, you become completely wow. So this is something that the Buddha reprimanded Ananda before. He said, when did I teach you this style of teaching? Well, there was somebody from another school came to Ananda and said, my teacher teach like that. Very logical or no, is it? See no evil, hear no evil, talk no evil. Therefore, I am pure. True or not? Huh? Very logical, isn't it? See no evil, think no evil, say no evil. So, you are pure. You are pure or not pure has got nothing to do with what you see. It's whether you have the understanding and the wisdom or not. The Buddha said you must see, and yet there is no evil inside your mind, you understand? And that is the real practice. See things as they are. Craving and desire are the defilement born of delusion. Because when you understand truth, you are completely different. Truth is within the moment. Conditioned like that, things will be like that. That's why Kondanya straight away can become a sotapan. He said, whatever is that is of the nature to arise, is of the nature to cease. Just that statement, he awakened. And self-delusion no more. Yeah, everything is dependent, originating, condition arising. So when you see that clearly, you are not deluded anymore. Then whatever you crave for is stupidity. It's just the mind's creation, desire, craving from the mind. The truth is, the reality is within the moment. Condition like that, things will be like that. It cannot be otherwise. Then when you want things your way, through your own mental fabrication, or they call mental proliferation, it will only lead to craving, desire. And when you cannot get what you want, you suffer, you become miserable, afflicted. So even for sensual desire, if you don't have desire, you can experience life. Life can be beautiful, like good food, you can eat. The beautiful setting of nature, the vibration within nature, you can feel them. You can really have that beautiful mind to experience all of the beauty and wonders of life. And these are reality within that moment, even though it's not real, because split second is dead and gone. Every moment is just so fleeting. As real as it can be, you have penetrated the truth, you will know. It's only within the moment. Where the moment is the only reality in life. You can remember? Huh? Past already gone, future yet to come. So, the only reality in life, the highest in life, is this moment. Moment to moment life passes by, what are you doing? So this will open up your understanding. That if you understand that the only reality in life is only within the moment, so life is within the moment. So if moment to moment you can have that clarity of mind, that peacefulness of mind, that free mind, free of all the delusion, the attachment, the craving, the desire, that mind is so beautiful, so still. It can be just with the moment to experience all of the beauty and wonders of mind from moment to moment, even though it's not real. Moment to moment, split second, is dead and gone. But all this moment can really be experienced by a mind that is completely free of craving, where craving is no more there, rooted out. There is just serenity, clarity, peacefulness, tranquility, stillness. That's why all of the beauty and wonders of life can be experienced by the form and mind. Understand? Through that wisdom connected to it, then that form and mind is no longer deluded. Then that form and mind can experience life and live life to the fullest. And that one is part of your vehicle and tool. That's why you can live life, even though it's unreal. But there is such thing as life. That's the reason why Heart Sutta say, when you have penetrated through emptiness, 真空妙有. True emptiness is wonderful existence. And when you have this understanding, life become wonderful, existence become beautiful, meaningful. That's why life bring. Life is indeed beautiful, meaningful, full of joy, happiness, full of meaning. That's why if you really want to experience all of the beauty and wonders of life, you should meditate and realize that Nibbana. Then when your form and mind arise after coming out of the end condition, it will become completely different. You will get to live the third phase of Dhamma, Pariyatti. Pativeda. Pativeda, Pariyatti is the first phase of Dhamma. And that is the most beautiful part of your life, most beautiful phase of your life. And even though it's just a form and mind within the conditioned world, not so real, but there is such thing as life after that. That's why since the year 1989 until now, how many years already? 28 years. This form and mind has served me well because of the wisdom connected to it, understanding. And it can really live life to the fullest. And it's so like very lucky, very blessed. It has nothing to do with luck. It's all from the past cultivation based on understanding that this can become possible, even though unreal. But there is such thing as a form of mind having this understanding, able to live life to the fullest, free of suffering, free of all those hot stuff that brings about misery, suffering, fear, worry, anxiety. Okay, we better end. Sorry, I must have exceeded the time. How come I didn't hear the alarm? Over already. Oh, today no alarm. Behyang. No wonder I didn't hear my wife's alarm. I thought I'm still within. Then I saw the clock there, exceeded. Sorry, exceeded 7 minutes. So now we will do the sharing of marriage, transfer of marriage. Then we end. Let us recall to mind all of beautiful sharing that we had. Then we rejoice with all this wholesomeness. Yes. Can, no problem. Oh, he is undergoing something or what? Oh, at home. Okay. There's a request we share and transfer marriage to Brother Xia, Nancy's husband. Okay, let us recall to mind all of the wholesomeness that we have developed over the past 2 hours plus. And we rejoice in this wholesomeness first. Sadhu, sadhu, sadhu. Then we will invoke the power of marriage. By the power of this merits and wholesomeness that we have just developed over the past 2 hours plus, may it arise the causes and condition for Brother Xia to recover to good health, good mind state, so that he can overcome all of his physical and mental suffering, so that he can give back his life to be with his family for many, many more years to come. I understand that he is going through a phase where she still need to move forward to do some, I don't know, treatment regarding his cancer and all those things. Mm. So Sui An also have been briefing me a bit. Then this Friday, Sui An did suggest we go to his house and see him before we go for the clang talk. I suppose I have a clang talk. So may it arise the causes and condition for Pradesya and Nancy and family to have the good condition to look forward to Pradesya's speedy and quick recovery from whatever sickness, disease, or physical and mental suffering that he's going through. And may all these merits do arise the causes and condition for them to have the good life after he recovered. Let us rejoice. Sadhu, sadhu, sadhu. Then we will delegate all these merits to other beings too, starting with the devas. Akasata cha bumata deva naga mahindika punyang tang anamoditwa cirang rakantu loka sasana etta vata chamehi sampadan punya sampadan sabbe deva anumodantu sabba sampati siddhiya idang me nyatinang hotu sukhita hontu nyatayo idang me nyatinang hotu sukhita hontu nyatayo idang me nyatinang hotu sukhita hontu nyatayo imina punyang kamena mame pala samagamo satang samagamo hotu yava nivana patiya sadhu sadhu sadhu. Okay, let us pay homage to Tripajam.